Welcome back to the Buffalo Bread Podcast. Dan, things are happening. Big things. A few years ago, I feel like we both were like sort of dreaming of this moment. And it's like one of those like be careful what you wish for moments, because I'm just like, uh-oh, I don't think this was the right move. Buffalo Bills fire coach Sean McDermott after 9 seasons and what, like a, it's like 105-50 record or something like that. I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, it was something very impressive. By winning percentage, I believe he ends as the winningest coach in Buffalo Bills history. Yes. Total wins second only to Marv Levy. JJ, with you, there were, I think, mixed reactions from Bills Mafia, some very strong reactions from the media today, just in the initial takes. And I think a lot to unpack, because there is the move in and of itself and what it means for right now in the short term, what it signals for the ascendance of one Brandon Bean in this organization as well. And the two moves being timed together has made a lot of people think that Bean's rise has come at the expense of McDermott's job. And that is going to be something I think that Bean is going to have to rectify with Bills Mafia and this fan base. Outside of that, there's the long-term implications of Josh Allen will have his second coach of his career. Who is that going to be? We are, of course, as a unified internet community, being like offensive-minded head coach, except there's not a lot of great offensive-minded head coaches this cycle, right? There's good coaches, probably coaches with some potential, but I think there's a lot. This is not an easy decision, and the answers that we get even after we hire a head coach are not going to come easy as well. But JJ, let's start with the move in and of itself. What are your general thoughts on the Bills moving on from McDermott?
I think generally, first of all, I think that Brandon Bean's weird promotion as this was happening is definitely adding fuel to the fire that he did some backhanded nonsense to send Sean out the door to say like that we need a change. This is the change I propose. And it's extra dirty because he was hired by Sean McDermott as a Carolina person that Sean knew who could come into that role. And this is the same Brandon Bean who has drafted 2 Pro Bowlers in 8 years, and who was also quoted as saying, "You're bitching about offense or wide receivers when we had the best offense in franchise history last year." Yeah. Followed up by hiring street free agent veterans who were on the cusp of retiring to try to fill in the receiver core, who had meaningful snaps and game clinching catches in the playoffs. So my general thoughts are like, I think the wrong guy left, because I think we both would agree that Sean McDermott had some warts as a head coach and made some bad calls, right? He made some bad challenges. He made some bad defensive scheme adjustments in critical moments. He got outcoached in the playoffs by Andy Reid, especially multiple times. But I feel like in the past 2 seasons, he was doing more with less talent than he had done anywhere earlier in his career as the head coach for the Bills. And so I don't think I don't feel like the Bills' shortcomings in 23, 24, or 25 fall squarely on his feet. I think that a lot of the roster building is the reason to blame.
Yes, I think you could look at the Bills falling short the past couple of years. You could point to a lot of different factors. I have crafted my take to address the Bean and McDermott thing separately. I think the Bills made one correct move and one incorrect move. I think the correct move was getting rid of Sean McDermott. I really do. I think, and here's what it is for me. Everything around this team has to center around the continued development, and now as he approaches age 30, the longevity of Josh Allen. Since Brian Daboll, listen, Sean McDermott has had how many cracks at the OC apple, right? He's had, this is going to be his 5th if Brady leaves.
Yeah, it was 4.
It's 4. Yeah. This would be his 5th, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So for me, he has gotten it right with Daboll. And since Daboll, with Dorsey and Brady, you've had very varied success. Listen, Brady, we talked about it on the season end pod, ironically, yesterday. I think Brady's going to be a very fine head coach, even if I disagree with the way he sequences plays and is a play caller. But the reality of the offense that Ken Dorsey crafted, it was not creative. It didn't suit Josh's strengths to be his best. And the offense that Brady created, I think, started out well-meaningly as we need to take pressure off Josh, but it ended up minimizing Josh in a lot of ways in this scheme until the scheme no longer worked. And then it was Josh doing Josh things, as we always say. Compounded with that, carrying a bad roster into the playoffs year in and year out, with the exception of the offensive line and the run game, Josh was being asked to do, ironically, more in this scheme. And this year, I think we underrate how much of a physical toll that took. Had some great interactions on socials today, and one of our users pointed out that points per game were the same this season as they were in Dable's last season. And I pointed out that is correct. But Josh took more hits, more sacks, and ran the ball at a higher rate combined than he has in his entire career. You cannot be plotting an offense around that anymore. So for me, I think the organization made this move for Josh in part because I don't think McDermott, for as good a man as he is and as great a leader as he is and as good of a defensive mind as he is, I don't think he deserved, after the Dorsey-Brady experiment, to take another crack at refilling and redesigning this offensive staff. I think it was time for fresh eyes to get on Josh and really do what we talked about a lot of these newly hired head coaches have done. Mike Vrabel, Mike McDonald, bringing on Kubiak to work with Sam Darnold out in Seattle.
Cohen.
Yep, Ben Johnson, yeah. Liam Cohen.
Liam Cohen, yep.
If you've got a QB, you suit the scheme around the QB and what the QB is good at, right? Dorsey didn't do that. I would argue Brady didn't do that, right? Tried to turn Josh into some game manager. And the toll it took on Josh this season, listen, he's on the Cam Newton path. We want him to be on the Matt Stafford path where he plays till he's 38. Right now, he's on the Cam Newton path. And I think the organization realized that. It was time for fresh eyes on the offensive scheme, fresh eyes on Josh. And listen, we've talked about the defensive scheme stagnating as well. You can absolutely argue injuries and personnel were a big issue with this year. What about last year? Like, dude, we have always said, well, if the Bills are just healthier, if the Bills are just this, 13 seconds, they had everybody that they needed except for Trey White on the field, right? They lost to Kansas. We keep saying, oh, they just need to be the one seed and then they're going to get a home game against Kansas City. They've had a home game against Kansas City in Buffalo and they still lost it. Like, at some point, doing the same thing over and over again, and if it's not getting you anywhere, you've got to make this change. The timing sucks because I think compared to last year, the coaching candidate pool is not as good as it was, but I think the firing of Sean McDermott is justified for all those reasons. I just love him, but you cannot trust him to rebuild this offense after what we've seen with Dorsey and Brady.
I think those are fair points. I think that, you know, like I kind of kicked off the show, we had pointed to the reasons we thought this had to happen for years. And now that it has, it's sort of like, wait. Because you're worried, because you're afraid. Like, change is scary. Transition is scary.
We're the dog that caught the mailman finally. Yeah. And now we don't know what to do.
Oh, God. My dog caught a deer once and also didn't know, you know.
Oh, my God. It's incredible.
Long time ago, long story. But it didn't murder. Nobody was murdered or harmed. It was fine. But similar, like, chases deer, corners one. It's there. And he's just like, I'm going to wag. I don't know. What do I do? But anyway. It is exactly that situation where it's like, okay, this is the thing we asked for, but oh no, what do we do now? I think you're right. And I think that two things make me feel a little bit more comfortable with this transition and this change. One of them is that we know that Sean McDermott, it seems like from things we've heard from verifiable sources, none of them ours, other people who are real media people have verified them. He's a very hard person to work for. That was known, right? Like, he had multiple coordinators. The Bills seemed to always be promoting from within because he was very particular. He was very detail oriented. They even said, you know, in the farewell message, which also called him an admiral, that
pathetic. That was pathetic.
You can't spell check this for 2 seconds and just pathetic. Shoot it off. Like, that felt terrible. Like, for somebody who pulled the Bills out of the drought, won the division five straight years and put them in the playoffs 8 of 9 years with at least one playoff win, that, you know, like, that's in 7 of those years, to just have that go out and have it look sloppy was bad. But essentially, the detail oriented thing that they pointed to in that, when I saw that, I was like, that might be like a backhanded shove out the door of like, this is, you know, we served us this way. This is why you're being fired. Mm-hmm. This is why you're done. Right. Like, because I think that, you know, again, those media sources, he might have been a difficult person to work for, caused a rift with Brian Dable, who was doing amazing things with Josh Allen, for all of those reasons. If they want to rebuild the whole thing, they need new voice. They need new eyes, and they need somebody who's not going to rip play calling away from the DC for better or worse and demand that they play his scheme. Because I think Sean McDermott's a brilliant defensive mind. I just think that he'd been out brillianted too many times in critical moments, and that was part of the reason the move happened. So for that, somebody who is willing to be a CEO, a football CEO, or an offensive focused person who then gets a bright defensive mind in place could be a good move for this team.
Or vice versa. I don't know that this has to be an offensive minded coach. Again, Mike McDonald is a defensive minded coach, but understood what he needed to get out of Sam Darnold and brought out a guy, and it's Clint Kubiak out there, right?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, it's Clint
brought
Kubiak.
Out a guy in Clint Kubiak who he knew he could do it. Mike Vrabel, not an offensive guy, knew what he had in Drake May, brought in a guy who knew who he'd get the most out of him, right? I will take smart and a good leader of men above like nifty play caller. I think we've seen the nifty play caller thing miss more than it has hit. And if I'm the Bills and I'm Bills Mafia, I would caution us in getting enamored with the next great offensive mind. Because Ben Johnson, there's not a Ben Johnson, there's not a Liam Cohen in this particular coaching pool for as good as some of these guys are. And I think the guys that are that are still a little bit too young. Davis Webb hasn't called plays, but he could be a guy. This guy, what's his name? I always butcher his name. He's like the pass game coordinator for LA under Sean McVay.
Sleeslack or
yeah, Sleeslack. Like yeah, something, it's something like that. I always brutalize his name.
I'll look it up.
Right? Like he's probably a year or two away in a couple of cycles from being a real like verifiable guy. I think you just got to go with the best candidate who is going to give you the best vision for Josh and then the best vision for this team. And then prove to you that they're going to bring in the staff that is needed in order to do that. Like, I wouldn't overlook a guy like Jesse Minter with the LA Chargers. I think he's a sharp defensive mind. And I think you got to realize, too, the cap situation. I could be wrong. Bean could have, like, secret outs out of all the extensions that he put out there and all of a sudden create cap space. But, I mean, we're up against the cap. We have put a lot of bad extensions out there. Greg Rousseau is not a $20 million a year guy. Terrell Bernard can't stay healthy, and even when he's healthy, he is a suitable coverage linebacker that gets washed in the run, right? All these things that we could go up and down about. They're anchored to Josh Palmer for another year. I think they can get out of the Curtis Samuel contract, right? But like all that said, like you're not going to blow up this defensive roster right away. You know, there's just pieces you cannot move on. So you bring in a guy like Minter, who's a great defensive mind, can work with the pieces when healthy on this defense that are needed to stabilize it, and then see what he's willing to bring in as far as an offensive coaching staff. But again, fresh eyes, someone that doesn't have a pre-existing relationship with Josh, that can evaluate him, not through the draft process like the Bills did and getting to know him, and not through all the years of golfing trips that he's had with Brandon Bean, but from an X's and O's tape standpoint, here's what this kid can do. Here's what he can't do, right? And here's what we don't need him to do anymore. You know, I think when you are talking about a 30-year-old quarterback, all those things need to be on the table. So, JJ, let's talk about the Brandon B thing. Because, like, so I think the McDermott, I said there was a right and a wrong decision made today. I think the correct decision was getting rid of McDermott. I think the incorrect decision was getting rid of Brandon Bean. I do think his elevation to president of football operations does mean that at some point, I do believe he'll bring in a GM or a new director of player personnel to really fill the roster. But he's got a bug up his butt after everyone has derided him this year for the crappiness of the roster build in the wide receiver room. I think he wants to try to go nuclear for one more offseason, granted with what assets, I don't know. But I think he's going to want to try to prove everybody wrong because he listens to that stuff. And then after he puts a better roster out on the field, I think there's a better than zero chance that he eventually gives up personnel duties and focuses on running the organization. That was my read on this move, because it's hard to do both of those jobs. I also got the sense too that the change with Bean to now overseeing the coaching staff. So for those of you in Bills Mafia who are not involved in like understanding the org chart of how everything works with the Bills, both McDermott and Bean reported directly to the Pegulas in ownership, right? And I think you started to see some tension and some fraying in the relationship between McDermott and Bean, because there were probably things that Bean did that overrode what McDermott did, and vice versa as well, right? Now, that's not going to happen. The buck stops with Bean, with his coaching staff, right? So knowing all that, and knowing that Brandon Bean has somehow secured even more control in this organization now, JJ, what are your feelings on the Bills keeping Brandon Bean?
Before I saw that it was a promotion, I thought it was a Doug Whaley situation. I think we texted about that a little bit. It's like, okay, maybe he's in place by name just to like get a new coach in the door, and then they'll let him walk too, and the coach will have a role picking his GM. I thought that was a situation, because that had been Pegula's playbook in the McDermott and Bean hiring cycle. But then the promotion. You don't do that if you're going to just like let him, or you're going to let him go after the draft. Like, you don't do that. It just looks super sloppy. And I don't think that they necessarily care about looking sloppy given their press releases.
Yeah.
But it's a situation where I think that, you know, yeah, I mean, really all he has to do is step up into the president of football operations role, and then he can start, you know, sexually harassing female employees like Russ Brandon, and then make a really like, you know, namby-pamby resignation, you know, that doesn't address the things he was doing. No,
I hope Brandon Bean.
He's better character than that, I think. But yeah, no, I think I just wanted to bring up that dark mark on the franchise history. I don't know, man. I'm with you that I feel like he does take it personally. He does have a big ego. Clearly there was some sort of schism that had formed between him and Sean over the years. And I think it probably over the past few years, because of Sean McDermott repeatedly having to make competitive teams out of a non-competitive parts of the roster. And in some regards, I think that Sean can be blamed too. I think he frustrated Brandon Bean by insisting of some players be brought back. Like, I don't know that Bean is chasing down Dane Jackson for another contract.
Yeah. I mean, right? Bean and that's the thing. And we may never know until the 30 for 30 on this thing comes out, but what the Bills did after trading Stephon Diggs, which I still disagree with that move, and like, we can talk about those implications, because I think there's a factor there too that led to this. But like, the Bills made this bold move that they were going to reset this roster. Like so many other teams, New England in the past with Tom Brady, like the Chiefs had already done once with Mahomes after getting rid of Tyreek Hill, the Bills were now going down that path. And then after they get to the AFC Championship, they bring back a lot of retreads. You know what I mean? Like, and then some of the good signings they did make, like a Shaq Thompson. I, for the life of me, will never understand why Shaq Thompson was competing for starts with Terrell Bernard this season. And to me, that's a McDermott thing, right?
Yep.
That's McDermott being loyal to his guy, right? And Shaq Thompson, we all saw it on film. We all saw it in the game broadcast, was clearly the better player. Given whatever Bernard was doing, McDermott was simply not willing to walk away from him, right? Until Bernard made the decision for him by having to sit out because of an injury for a few games. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like, Shaq Thompson has said, he wants to come back, but he wants to start somewhere. And right now, with Milano likely gone, there's no reason why Shaq Thompson shouldn't be starting for this team. And it felt like McDermott was a little bit of a barrier to that because of his loyalty to some of the guys on the roster. Like it cuts both ways. Like the roster sucked, but McDermott also didn't always play the right notes. I mean, let's go back in our time machine to Tim Settle and Puna Ford. Today, I have found myself thinking more than any person should about Tim Settle and Puna Ford, because these were
players that offered something. Yeah.
Right. These were two really good players that the Bills brought in, flamed out with this team in this scheme, in this defensive line scheme, went to other teams, Houston, and I think Puna was with the LA Chargers.
Yep.
And gangbusters, right? Puna Ford is indispensable to the Chargers at this point. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But couldn't make it work here. You know what I mean? I just, again, it goes both ways. And to me, it's a sign that GM and coach were not always on the same page with the groceries that were on the shopping list and how the meal should be cooked, to pull out of Bill Parcells.
That's a great quote. I've always loved that reference.
Right. So if you're the organization And you have the political leverage that Brandon Bean does because he's close to Josh. He's close to the Pegulas. He's close to a lot of people in the Pegulas inner circle. You play that leverage and you're like, listen, this is a move that signals that the Bills felt the roster was competitive. And we can all laugh at that, right? But what are the Bills in reality? They're a team that's won as many games as you said, in large part to McDermott. But they're also a team that has led the league in point differential over the course of that time as well. That doesn't happen because your roster sucks every year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's got to be a mix of good coaching, but you're hitting on some of these guys too. So, you know, it's to me, if there was ever going to be that fight between the guy buying the groceries and the chef making the meal, it was always going to be the guy buying the groceries because he had the leverage with ownership and leverage with the QB.
Yeah, I mean, I sent a gift to my like Bills fan chat of a baseball player sliding into a base face first up the second baseman's tuchus. I was like, live look at Bean with Pegula.
Yeah, pretty
because
much.
Because it just feels a promotion and the firing of the head coach in the same day is just like, whoa. Yeah. So he definitely absolutely. has the voice. He has the voice that Pegula is listening to in the building. And so this is a situation where, you know, for better or worse, we'll see how this roster looks and then whomever is actually cooking the meal, food they can produce.
Without a doubt.
Because it's been edible for a while, but there have been seasons it hasn't reached past one Michelin star.
Yeah. And I mean, to me, that like this is the most vanilla, simple take I can give. And McDermott have had shared success and shared failure. And to me, they should have owned the accountability for the most recent failure and they both should have been gone. Like, I think I could be proven to be wrong. Like Bean could go trade for Justin Jefferson all of a sudden and find his chutzpah again when it comes to making bold moves. He could trade 2 first round picks and go get our Will Anderson and Arvel Reese, right? Like he could go do all those things or he couldn't and he could continue to play Moneyball with this roster. Who knows? But I think the shared success and the shared accountability both need to be acknowledged. And I think the Bills only did half of that job. And by keeping Bean, I think ultimately the franchise made a mistake.
Yeah. You should start trending big backstabber Bean on our socials.
Dude, I will.
Do it, please.
That is the type of shit posting that we have become known for.
It'll take
off. Really will be. Yeah. It really will be. JJ, I want to talk a little bit about we're going to wrap this up and we're going to give, I think, our takes on who we want the Bills to target. There's some great candidates out there and things like that. But I need to get your take on something. You know, we've talked about the internal factors that probably forced this move, the ticking clock that is in everyone in Orchard Park's brain about Josh Allen's age, his window, his prime, how long it'll be open, the physicality he plays with, all those things, right? How much do you think the Patriots' success this year factored into this, right? And let me, I've given you a lot of long runways for questions tonight. I will keep this one short.
Yeah.
Vrabel comes in 1 year and it's a turnaround. And he plays the CEO type, which you think you got in McDermott, who correctly identifies how the QB needs to be managed. He takes one of your, whatever you want to say about Stefon Diggs, but he takes someone who is a franchise cornerstone, a historic all-time great Buffalo Bill. After a disgruntled end to his run here and an injury-plagued run in Houston, brings him in, not only makes him a competitive contributor again, but is someone who has said, at least in all of his media takes, that he's actually buying in to what Vrabel has to say, right? Do you look at any of New England's success and the fact that, listen, I hate to say this, Bills Mafia, Drake May is going to play in a Super Bowl before Josh Allen. Like Jarrett Stidham is not stopping New England and Drake May. So given that Drake May will reach a Super Bowl before Josh Allen and the success that Vrabel had in turning that around, do you think now that the Patriots are back played any role in the Bills' decision?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's not going to be the thing that made, they didn't think of the thing because of that, but that is the catalyst that drove a sense of urgency to make the decision, right? Like I think this decision, clearly they'd probably been considering it. I think they've probably been considering it for 2 years now at this point of disappointing losses in the playoffs. And this, but I do think that having a more competitive AFC East, looking around and being like, oh man, we can't rest on our laurels and be the same old Bills this year, next year, et cetera, because we just lost the division for the first time in 5 years, and the Patriots don't seem to be a team that's going to go away, right? And so I think that there was a sense of urgency created by this. I don't think this is the reason, but I think it created a sense of urgency.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think this happens even if Houston beats New England, but yeah. I think this is weighing on them. It's a factor in their mind. And listen, they chose Joe Brady and what Sean McDermott and Joe Brady wanted the vision of this offense to be over keeping Stephon Diggs, right? Stephon Diggs is still a competitive player. He's still a contributing player. But this is the reason why he talked his way out of Buffalo. It wasn't anything to do with his relationship with Josh. He saw what Brady wanted to do and was like, not for me.
I'm not blocking. I'm not going to be on the field 40 snaps a game and blocking for 32 of them.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. You know, so, I mean, listen, time will tell if this was the correct decision or not. I think, and this is where, before we end, real quick, what are your thoughts on who the Bills should target? I've got Jesse Minter at the top of my list.
Yeah.
And I like him as a package deal because he's got some connection with Mike McDaniel. I like him or Kubiak coming out of LA as like the new young up and coming head coach, both of whom have a lot of ties to the Shanahan McVay coaching tree. And then Minter with the Harbaugh coaching tree as well, and could bring in a guy like McDaniel to be the OC.
Well, I think the person you were trying to think of was Neil Shielhaas.
Yes. He feels a year early.
Yeah. Passing. He's definitely not head coach material, but like he's the kind of player or he's the kind of coach that I feel like you might be able to pry out of the Rams with an OC offer if you have a coach that wants a good OC that's up and coming kind of offensive mind.
Shula might bring him around.
Right. Yeah, no, I think that those are good. Your picks are similar to my picks. I will go in a different direction and tell you who I absolutely do not want to see because I don't know the field enough to give you ideas of who I do want to see. I do not want to see Brian Daboll as a head coach of this team. Correct. Do not want to see Mike Tomlin, even though they'd have to trade for him, which is insane. He's already stated to teams calling him that he's not interested in coaching. 26. And then I'm horrified that they'll hire Mike McDaniel or Brian Flores, right? Like there are retread coaches in the league that I'm very afraid of Pegula or Bean making the decision to bring in because I think that's a step down from McDermott.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of like, hey, bring Daboll back. And for me, again, Daboll, buy him a beer whenever I see him in Buffalo, you know what I mean? For everything that he did for Josh, and for this franchise. This is a win now move. This is you are the new head coach of the Buffalo Bills. Your job year one is to Vrabel it. It's to get to the Super Bowl and do the thing that we have never been able to do before. Brian Daboll is an emotional head coach that does not know how to modulate through the inevitable downturns in the season. He is great when things are going great, and he is horrifying when things are going bad. And I do not think after the flawed but steady hand of Sean McDermott, you want to bring a guy as volatile as Daboll into this clubhouse. And Flores is a little bit of the same way. I would love him as a DC, but as another head coach run, I agree with you. But I'd love him as a DC. I'd love him as a DC a lot.
Yeah, I think he's good for that.
I would also love anyone from his staff as a DC. You know, like their DB coach, I can't remember his name, but he's getting some looks for head coaches jobs right now. I'd snap that dude up in a second to go call plays. Anthony Weaver, again, he's on the outside looking in for my finalist list here for head coach. But shoot, man, if you are any one of these head coaching candidates, the staff that you're going to bring in is going to matter maybe more than
you.
The hire itself, right?
Yeah.
So if you are a guy who can, and this is the only situation I would maybe be okay with Mike McDaniel, if you can pry a guy like Anthony Weaver away, yeah, man. I mean, so we'll see how it goes. I think for Sean McDermott, he's going to have opportunities. If I am Tennessee, I'm absolutely not hiring Matt Nagy, and I'm calling Sean McDermott tomorrow. If I'm LA or Las Vegas, I'm not hiring Joe Brady. I'm calling Sean McDermott tomorrow, even though how funny would it be? like the least Vegas guy in the world. Yeah. And then they're going to draft Fernando Mendoza, right, who is the least Vegas QB you could imagine. Those two guys are on the face of the franchise of Sin City. It'd be amazing. It'd be amazing content. But if you're Las Vegas, you make that call. Like if you're the Browns, like I know, like you're going to suck for a couple of years. And this is why you're considering promoting Jim Schwartz on a short term deal until you can get a QB and hire a real coach.
Right.
But like, go get your real coach now. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like go let Sean McDermott play with Myles Garrett and that defensive line.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what I mean?
Give him a 5-year deal and, you know, Myles Garrett will set the sack record 4 of those years.
Exactly.
He's built. That's the thing is like in the offseason pre 2025, the smoke around Myles Garrett potentially being traded, I think that would have like, that probably would have fixed the defense.
I mean, yeah, so much would have fixed yeah, the defense, right?
So, yeah. There's no reason rehashing all that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I don't have many ideas in terms of which direction I want them to go in. It's all very fresh. I'll dig into that as the coaching carousel spins. But I do know that I don't want another retread. I don't want a Belichick Dable coaching, right? Like that's been floated around on socials too, is like back Bill Belichick from the college ranks and then have him hire Dable as his OC.
I mean, it would be, he would do everything, including maybe kidnapping Drake May to make sure he beat the Patriots every week. Right. But yeah, Belichick, no, talk about a He's culture cooked. Killer.
Yeah.
Talk about a culture. And listen, we may be threading too fine of a needle, but like, I don't want to win that way. You know what I mean? I want to do it the right way. Like, it would be dishonorable to the legacy, I think, of this franchise to do it that way. Like we've handled losing so well over the years. My daughter, we're watching the Four Falls of Buffalo, my annual tradition when the Bills don't make the Super Bowl. And we left it off and we got to pick it up with Bills fans after Scott Norwood missed the field goal in the, what was it, the 1990 against the Giants in 1990 Super Bowl, right? And like everybody on the steps of, you know, City Hall, like chanting for him, screaming his name. I'm like, you see, that's what we do as Bills Mafia. We always support our own no matter what. And a guy like Belichick absolutely kills that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So yeah, please God, no.
And speaking of supporting our own and having class, I think that Sean McDermott's a way, and we can end with this, his message to the Mafia, to the fans, to the players, City of Buffalo, to everybody, was super classy. He was a class act the whole way through, you know, really respectable guy.
Same. Yeah, same. I wish him the best. I thank him he brought us out of the drought before we drafted Josh. A lot of people forget that. He did it with Tyrod Taylor, right? And a lot of Rex Ryan holdovers. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, the man is a good coach who set the standards for this franchise to become great. He failed to meet the new expectations and standards that he himself helped to build, but it doesn't mean he was a failure. He was a great coach. He gave us great memories, and we wish him nothing but the best.
Absolutely.
All right. Bills Mafia, that should be it. So JJ and I are not going to record regularly, but we're not going to go on our full offseason hiatus here because obviously the Bills are going to hire a coach in the next couple of weeks before the start of the league year. And we're going to come back to give you our thoughts on that. But until then, like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, YouTube, Apple, and Spotify. And as always, go Bills.
Go Bills.